54. Miscalculations. Modo pursued the man up to the highest room in the tower. It was a mess. Telegraph machines smashed by the blows of the Shah's guns. Shattered glass and burning paper littered the floor. The west wall was in ruins, one section open to the air. This odd man had to be important, might even be the guildmaster. Why else would he have been with Hackendottir? Did he still have a trick up his sleeve? A means of escape? A hot air balloon, perhaps? Nothing was impossible, but if a balloon had been tethered to the broken landing post, it was gone now. "There's no way out of here," Modo said, facing him. The breeze was warm, rustling and separating the burning papers. The man stood at the far side of the room, blinking as though what was happening was beyond his comprehension. "So you are Modo," he said, coming out of his trance. "Yes. A very curious, determined creature. I'll take that as a compliment. I'm afraid I miscalculated. I failed to foresee this outcome. Plato would be ashamed." "Who's Plato?" The man cocked his head. "A philosopher." I know. I thought you were using a code name." He heard a noise behind him. Modo turned to see Mr. Socrates, Tharpa, and several association soldiers enter the room. "Ah, your master comes." To Mr. Socrates, he said, "A well-played hand." "Thank you," Mr. Socrates replied. "Would you do me the courtesy of stating your name?" "I am no one," the man said. "Prometheus one day, Midas the next. Yes, that would be a good name for me. A foolish king who could make everything turn to gold, but could never eat." "Come now, the game is done," Mr. Socrates said. "I know a little about you, at least. You were once the dragon master of the Redfish Triad, weren't you? Or should I say 489? The man nodded and grinned. So this was the guildmaster. Modo shook his head at the thought. This little bespectacled fellow. "Marvellous. I didn't imagine you or your allies got that close to my old life. You're much more effective than I believed you to be. Another miscalculation. But yes, that number was once me, and I was once that number." Mr. Socrates said, "Please return to my ship. We won't mistreat you. In fact, I'll give you your choice of tea." "Such kindness," the guildmaster replied. Modo studied him. Sarcasm? He really seemed cavalier. "I suppose logic dictates that I offer up my arms for manacles and bow down to your might." "There won't be any need for manacles," Mr. Socrates said. "We're all gentlemen here." "I am more than that. And I have more names than you will ever know. My father named me Douglas, for one." Then he began dancing around in a circle, flapping his arms like wings, looking every bit the lunatic, until he said, "But I truly am Daedalus." Daedalus, the Greek scientist who created wings from wax and feathers to escape a prison, along with his son Icarus. Did the guildmaster really believe he could just up and fly away? As the man began to giggle, Modo glanced out at the airship docking station, just to reassure himself it was indeed broken. Then something over his head caught his eye and he looked up. White, ragged, man-sized wings hung from the shattered ceiling. "To the sun!" the guildmaster yelled, leaping onto an upturned desk and grabbing the wings. Modo sprang after him, but the distance was too great. As the guildmaster ran towards the hole blasted in the side of the observation deck, he slid the wings on and leapt into the sky. An impossibly large hand shot up from outside the palace, catching the guildmaster in midair and sending his glasses flying. He was thrown back into the room, where he landed on his broken wings. Typhon climbed in and stood over him, a boot on the small man's chest as he writhed around. If the roof hadn't been blown off, the towering creature wouldn't have been able to stand up straight. Typhon grabbed the guildmaster by his lapels and lifted him.
"So it is the master of the masters," Typhon said. "Are we standing inside your broken dreams?"
"Put me down, monster," the guildmaster ordered.
"Correct. I am a monster. But it was you who ordered my creation. You set your doctor and your minions to the task of piecing me together.
He paused.
So, tell me again. Who is the real monster?
Put him on the floor, Mr. Socrates demanded. That man is my prisoner. Tharpa and the soldiers raised their guns. Typhon tilted his head.
Your bullets won't harm me. You cannot wound flesh that is already dead.
Release me!
The guildmaster was now shouting.
Release me at once! I command you, Typhon!
I reject that name, and your tinctures and commands no longer work on me. Beg, beg for my forgiveness. Tell me that you accept me as your child.
I shall not.
Then are you Daedalus or Icarus?
He asked. Modo didn't like the direction this was going. Icarus, after all, had flown too close to the sun, melting his waxen wings and crashing to his death.
I am Daedalus,
the guildmaster cried.
I am Daedalus.
You are Icarus,
Typhon said. He tore the wing from one arm, and, as though he were tossing away a cockroach, threw the guildmaster over the side of the palace tower to the rocks below. Everyone else stood there, stunned. Typhon turned to them and shrugged.
He gave me the brain of a murderer. What did he expect?
He pointed at Mr. Socrates.
I demand safe passage off this island.
Mr. Socrates looked him in the eyes. It would be immoral to allow you to roam free in the world.
Then we are at an impasse. I've not discovered my own free will, only to be forced to surrender it. I see only one avenue of escape.
He heaved his bulk towards Mr. Socrates. Tharpa let off two shots, but they only thudded into the creature's flesh. Modo flew at the monster. He had always been amazingly strong. Surely he could at least come between this thing and his master. But Typhon easily flicked Modo to the floor. Two more shots from Mr. Socrates' pistol, and then the creature had his hand around the master's throat. He jerked him up and squeezed him against his chest, Mr. Socrates' face turning red from lack of air.
Get too close, and I will snap this old rooster's neck. I'll let him go once I've escaped this place. I promise.
He carried Mr. Socrates, now limp and speechless, into the lift and began his descent. Modo tore down the spiral stairs to head them off. He shouted at the dragoons waiting below, "Back away! Don't fire!" Modo trailed after Typhon as they left the palace, staying far enough back so as not to alarm him. Mr. Socrates' face had turned a frightening shade of purple. He saw Octavia running towards them, and he motioned her to stay away. The monster carried Mr. Socrates out into the water and dropped him unceremoniously into one of the Triton boats and climbed in after him. After experimenting for several seconds, he got the boat chugging out into the ocean.
"You are overly dedicated to your master," he shouted.
"He is more than my master,"
Modo yelled back. What could he do? He had no more weapons, no more words. His hand was broken. Modo pulled up his mask.
"Typhon!"
he shouted.
"You're not the only monster here!"
He made his way slowly towards him through the water, the light falling fully upon his face, the waves creeping up his legs, his torso. Then he began to swim, tentatively, keeping his face above the surface.
"You see?"
he shouted.
"We are both monsters of a kind."
It was a last feeble gesture. Modo's attempt to appeal to whatever tiny bit of humanity might still be floating about in Typhon's brain. Typhon stared at him, bemused. He waved his little finger.
"One day I would like to know more about you," he said. "But today is not that day."
As though he had done it all his life, he began piloting the boat out into the Pacific. With his enormous bulk, it sat heavy in the water. He still had an arm around Mr. Socrates, who was now alert and struggling and beginning to holler.
"Let him go," Modo pleaded. "You promised to let him go."
"I did. You shouldn't have trusted a murderer."
He paused.
"But I shall keep my word."
And so he tossed Mr. Socrates into the ocean.